Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hello, everyone. I am so excited for today's guest because we talk about money mindset and how women are starting to take control of their finances, and then how, you know, money mindset and your financials is just a reflection of your overall mindset and how it is connected. And so my guest today is Chrissy from En Route Financial, and I had so much fun with this conversation, just talking about all the things that she is going through and the changes that she is making, why she decided to jump ship and create her own company, why she loves working with women, how she has learned in her own practice that mindset is key in many different ways, and that, you know, women actually do want to understand their finances and want to move forward. And sometimes it's just taking the baby steps to do that. Talking about money is an interesting topic because it's taboo still. There's still some stigma about talking about it, but it's getting less and less and less with everything else going on in the world and changing, just like the conversation around sex. Because I think we're all realizing that just because we turn 18 doesn't mean we actually know how to work with money and what money mindset is, just like how, like, being great at sex either. So, guys, I'm so excited for you guys to dive into this episode, and let us begin. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to interview today's guest because we're talking about money, and then we're talking about money mindset because that's also my jam. And I have Chrissy from En Route Financial here. So hi, Chrissy. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Lo. I'm Christy Runzer. I'm the founder of En Route Financial. And I essentially help female entrepreneurs who are feeling really stuck with their money, but they want to be more strategic. They want to be more intentional. They're feeling a little bit confused around their business finances and their personal finances and how all of those things work together. And we simplify it. We break it down. We create a plan. We have some fun along the way because I know money can be one of those topics that are, it's a little taboo. We don't talk about it. It feels scary. We feel embarrassed about it. So I really just like to try to act as that girlfriend who's there supporting you, zero judgment, and make money fun.
Yes. Make money fun. I find it so interesting. Money and sex are in the same category.
Yes.
No one talks about it. Everyone needs it, does it. And then all of a sudden you hit this magical age of, we'll just say 18, and you're supposed to know it all when you're just like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yep. A lot of my clients come to me, they're like, I'm ready to start adulting with my finances. I'm like, yeah, sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Adulting.
Yep.
Lots of adulting. But how did you get into this all? Like, how did you create En Route and the whole philosophy behind it?
Yeah, so I started in the industry right out of college, not really knowing if this would be my end all be all, but I went to college for finance mostly because I knew I was interested in business and entrepreneurship. I was good at math. I loved math. And I knew that all businesses had a financial aspect. So I was like, okay, I'll go for money for finance, and then I can go into whatever industry happens to come my way or that I happen to want to go into. And so when I graduated, it was either corporate finance or becoming a personal financial planner. And I went that route, even though it was, you know, no salary, no benefits, but it was a good time to start a business. I didn't have a lot of responsibilities. You know, I didn't have a mortgage payment. I didn't have kids that I had to worry about. So it was a good time to take that risk and that leap. And I was working at a firm for about 5 years doing the very traditional financial planning, working with pre-retirees, managing money, kind of what you might think of when you think of a financial advisor. And I just had kind of lost that passion. There had been a period of a couple months where I was on the couch watching Netflix for way too long. And I was like, okay, wait, something's wrong here. I'm not happy. I'm not feeling that joy anymore. I'm not showing up for myself, for my business. And I realized it wasn't financial planning, but it was who I was serving. I really wanted to help people more like me. I wanted to help young women. I wanted to work with entrepreneurs. I love the entrepreneurial energy because it's kind of like that vibe of I'm going out there, I'm creating my own thing that I love, making an impact, creating a dream life that I love. And I left the firm, started my own, and have been really enjoying this new journey and really working with clients that I feel passionate about.
So what's the number one thing when a woman comes in that you have seen across the board working with clients and having that entrepreneurial spirit going on?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that come into play. There's the mindset piece, mm-hmm. which we talked a little bit about, where we're feeling shame or embarrassment, we're feeling stressed, we're feeling anxious. And then there's that piece of avoidance, really. That's probably the number one thing, is that I see people coming to me where they have been avoiding it, or they haven't looked at it in a while, or maybe they're not working on it regularly, and they really are ready to start tackling this topic and start jumping in and get out of that place of avoidance. Because I work with a lot of high achievers who are like, I want to be doing something. I want to be taking action, but I'm not. And it's killing me. It's really frustrating.
What is blocking them from taking action that you've seen?
I think a lot of it, there's, you know, the practical piece of I don't know where to start. But then there's the mindset stuff. They're, you know, standing in their own way. I know a big thing for me personally, as I was starting this journey and I had the practical skills as a financial planner, but I still wasn't really getting the results that I wanted. I was like, what's going on here? I know everything that you might need to know about finances, but I'm still not really feeling like I'm on the right path and I'm getting the results I'm looking for. And I realized I had a lot of things mindset-wise that were holding me back. And the two big ones were I didn't feel deserving, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was good enough. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel like I deserved money. And then the other piece was I was really finding my worth in my business and in my finances. So if I didn't hit a revenue goal, or if I didn't live up to some crazy expectation that I put on myself and I didn't see the result, therefore, I would take that as I wasn't good enough, or I was a failure. This business was a failure. It was really a personal thing for me, as opposed to just, okay, that's the data. Those are the numbers. Let's use these from an, you know, unbiased, objective point of view to inform strategy and make some changes. It became a personal thing for me. So I see a lot of that with my clients too, is they have these blocks, these things holding them back from really just going for it and stepping into it.
Yeah, I find it really interesting that you had, I'm not good enough for money story. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's so interesting because it was more of a general feeling of not being good enough. It wasn't necessarily applied towards money, but it showed up in my money, mm-hmm. right? Like it was just a general feeling like, you know, that lack of worthiness. And I was finding it in my money story as I was noticing that I was struggling to ask for the sale or I was struggling on a discovery call with a client, or maybe even in my spending. I wouldn't spend money just for fun or on me. I was really only kind of just paying the bills, and I didn't feel like I deserved to splurge on even something simple like a new sweater or, you know, something that we might buy without even thinking about it. So it was super interesting to see that those feelings of not feeling worthy showing up in the way that I could earn, but also in the way that I was spending as well.
So with the spending, like, to do that splurge on, like, say, that Target run that people mm-hmm. do also often, was it because you felt like you didn't have a set number in your bank account, or you weren't reaching some sort of goal, so you weren't deserving to have that splurge because you got to pay the bills and that's the basis? But
yeah, it really came back to feeling like I needed to have quote unquote enough in my bank account, or enough in terms of revenue in my business. And there was a real lack feeling there. Like, I, no matter how much money I made, even as I made more and more money, it never felt like there was enough. It was always this feeling of lack. And so even as I grew, I wasn't able to do those things because I still had that lack mindset. And it's so interesting to see, when you have that mindset, the numbers don't even necessarily even matter in a way. I mean, mm-hmm. it depends, but even as you grow and grow and grow, if you have that lack mindset, you still have it, even as the numbers get bigger.
Did you have that lack mindset growing up? Was that you witnessed it, or all of that?
Yeah, I think a lot of that messaging came growing up with family. And I think a lot of that messaging exists in society as well. Mm-hmm. I never really heard the messaging around abundance until I started doing the work on my mindset and reading books, hiring coaches, looking for something different. I never really heard that language of abundance growing up from society or from my family at all. And I don't know, maybe it was part of my money messages being, you know, you can only get what you want if you work hard, or you can only earn money if you work hard. Like, I had a lot of those work hard messages, mm-hmm. like time for money messages. So I think that's where a lot of it came from. And I see a lot of that lack mindset out there. I don't know if you see that.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Yeah, right?
Like, even now, like, doing the work and different things and seeing how it shows up even in my life, to be switching from that lack mindset to the abundance mindset. I mean, for me, I grew up in the lack. There wasn't enough. Like, we only had one income coming in, and I had a disabled parent. So therefore, we were always strapped. I mean, my brother and sister and I grew up, we were still doing things, but it wasn't like everyone else was. And like, even now talking about abundance and what it looks like to me and self-care, like, for me, self-care goes out the window. It's the unworthiness thing. It's like, nope, I'm not worthy to spend that money to get my hair done or get the massage because I'm not working right now and I got to pay my bills. But when I look at the numbers and I'm going, well, I can. And if we're talking about abundance and we're having a conversation with the universe, going back, but more's going to come in anyway, and being that higher vibration, yeah, I get to go do that.
Yeah,
the bills are paid for this month. I get to splurge right now, and then next month will come, and I'll figure it out. Type of situation. It's been looking back and being like, I have been on that hamster wheel of death that I've posted about and talked about on Instagram for someone else. I need a minute and I deserve it. But it's hard. It's so hard doing that transition because it's like deeply ingrained. Mm-hmm. So do you have any mantras that you have learned for yourself that's helped you take that step? Like, if we're going up a staircase of switching that mindset to more of abundance, like, what was your first mantra?
Yeah, I love that you speak about how it is hard to change that mindset, because that old programming comes back time and time again. No matter how many times I logically know, you know, or I have logically switched a belief in my mind, when I'm in the moment, that's where the challenge is. And it's kind of been a progression from starting to be in that moment, but not necessarily be aware that those beliefs have popped up, to where now I'm starting to, when they do pop up, I can notice them much faster. So being able to notice them at all was a shift. And then the speed at which I've been able to notice them have been a shift as well. And I don't necessarily use specific mantras. I kind of more have a conversation with myself in my head, or sometimes out loud, where I'm reminding myself, the universe is abundant. There's plenty of money out there for you and everyone else. You know, you deserve what you desire. So not necessarily go-tos, but I kind of, based on the situation, will bring that self-talk out. And it's more than a mantra. So it's kind of like a whole myriad of me repeating multiple things to myself over and over again and working to switch that mindset. And that's kind of maybe the next phase, is like gaining the awareness, and then you're gaining it faster. And then you're in the moment with the awareness, talking to yourself with your affirmations. But then it's like, is the shift happening? It doesn't always happen right away still, right?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I like how I tell people, and have coached individuals going on, like, every day you could wake up and tell yourself, I'm going to forgive my ex. And you may still be like, you know, you hate him or her, you're just so angry. But eventually, over time, will come a day, you'll wake up in the morning and you'll just feel it. But because you're telling yourself that. So I love how you said the whole positive self-talk you brought up, instead of having mantras, is also perfect, because you're telling yourself, it's okay. I'm choosing to forgive. I am still angry. I'm aware of it, but I'm still choosing another way. And it just builds over time.
Yeah, eventually, you know, those neural pathways, those old ways of thinking, they begin to shift, but it definitely takes time. And I'm still learning and I'm still growing on this journey. And maybe I've learned it in one scenario, but then another scenario pops up and it's really the same lesson at the root of it, right? So I'm relearning, just applying it to this new scenario. So it's such an interesting journey, but so worth it.
What's one of your affirmations? I'm curious.
A lot of around trusting that money is coming to me.
Mm.
Like, especially when I'm feeling lack in my business, like, I don't have enough clients, I'm not making enough money, no one wants to work with me. When that negative self-talk comes up, a lot of it is just me having to kind of let go, release, and trust the right clients are out there waiting for me. They're coming to me. Money is coming to me. Keep showing up and serving and doing you, and the money is coming. So a lot of that type of self-talk or those mantras of just trusting, which is hard. Mm-hmm. That has been a practice for sure.
Oh, for someone who lives in numbers all the time and has gone through the financial, just trusting in the ethers of the universe and not having those hard numbers can be challenging in itself. I can only imagine. But yeah, you're talking about like what I call the universal lesson. So everyone has a universal lesson or lessons that keep coming up. And I just find it so interesting that for you, it's in the financial realm, and that's what your career is. You're in the financial realm supporting women, but yet you're still struggling with yourself, which I think is also amazing, because then your clients, you make yourself more relatable to your clients.
Yeah, my clients have really enjoyed that I am like them and that I'm on the same journey and I'm able to teach from personal experience. And that's been super helpful because I feel like I can really connect with people more. I can serve them better. And I'm not a perfect human. I'm a human, right? We're we're all just human beings, and we all have our own flaws. And that's, I think, what makes me so passionate about being in the financial space, is that it's been a struggle for me, at least mindset wise. Practically, I can give you all the skills and tips and strategies all day, but that's half the battle. You know, having the right mindset is the other half, if not more, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So do you support your clients a lot with the mindset piece before we get into the practical pieces?
Yeah, definitely. It's just noticing the language that they're using, the things that are coming up for them. And instead of skirting over that, it's kind of taking that moment to pause and be like, hey, you just said that you didn't think this was possible for you, or that this couldn't happen. You know, tell me more about that. What's that? Where'd that belief come from? Why do you feel that way? And starting to kind of identify where that negative self-talk is coming from for them, and helping them to kind of start to create those new, more abundant beliefs around money.
So do you support them in, say, like creating their own affirmation, or send them to a resource to do all of that?
Yeah, it depends. I don't necessarily specialize in mindset work. So mm-hmm. I definitely have resources that I would refer to for deeper coaching. I can kind of help with the awareness and noticing what's coming up, but I'm not a mindset coach, right? That mm-hmm. I refer out for that, but I can definitely help and will help with setting an affirmation, or it depends on the client. Some people, affirmations isn't necessarily their thing. Mm-hmm. I had a client who was big into meditation and visualization, so that was a really great route for her. And one thing I'll encourage is, if you do have self-care practices right now that work for you, apply those to your money mindset, because it's all mindset at the end of the day. So if there's something that's working for you right now, just kind of bring that on over into the money realm.
Yeah, that's so right, because your whole money story, your money mindset, is just a reflection of everything else. And money is just so prevalent in people's faces, they don't really realize how interconnected it is. Because again, we're in the society, you got to like keep going for more, you keep going with the Joneses, or now it's the Kardashians. But like, yeah, no, I love that. So walk me in a process. Say a new client comes in, what are the practical steps that you take them through, say for like the initial meeting?
Yeah. So there's essentially kind of three steps to my process. The first one is to really set that strong foundation, which includes two components. First is setting clear financial goals. A lot of times we don't necessarily know what we want, or we're setting goals based on a should. I should do this. This is what a responsible adult would do. Or we hold ourselves back because we're like, oh, well, I would do this, but this doesn't feel realistic to me. So it's really starting to think abundantly and dream big with your goals. And then the other piece is quantifying them. Maybe people do have their goals, but they don't necessarily know, how much money is it going to take? And what does that actually look like in terms of saving or spending or investing? So we start with goals, and then we get all the numbers organized. So this is where my avoiders have so much fun, encourage them and help them out a bit through this process. But it's really taking a look, what's in the bank, what's in investments, how much are you making, how much are you spending? And having that clear picture of where you're at. So your foundation essentially tells you where you're going and where you're at, and really lays that groundwork for you. So that's step one in my process. And then from there, step two is creating the plan. So now that we know where you want to go and where you're at, we can start to identify that journey to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to Work on your budgeting. Do you need to set up an investment or savings plan? Do you need to grow your business and your revenue? Do you want to start paying yourself from your business? Do you want to leave corporate and go into your business full time? So getting kind of practical around what actual steps we need to go through for your planning. And then from there, step three in the process is working the plan. And this is an ongoing process. So you have the plan. Now you got to start showing up, doing the work, whether it's every month or every quarter, doing some tasks, checking in with your plan, reviewing, updating, implementing. A big piece of my role in this is the accountability, because a lot of people can set the plan, but then they're not necessarily wanting to take the action or holding themselves accountable to that. And the cool thing about your financial plan is that it's growing and evolving. So you might set this plan initially, but life happens, things change. Your plan changes too, and that's okay. So that's why it's important to be checking in regularly as well, because you want to make those tweaks and updates as you go to make sure you're still on track. You might need to change your course of action, and all that's okay. But the hardest part is showing up, honestly. Once you're showing up, you know, you're going to make progress, even if it's little by little.
Why do you think the hardest part is showing up?
Probably a lot of mindset blocks, a lot of overwhelm. People aren't sure what to be doing, when to be doing it. We don't prioritize it. We'll do anything and everything else first. Or maybe the learning curve feels big and we're not willing to start that process. It's like anytime you start a new project or you want to start a new project, but you have no idea what to do, it's like, okay, I'll figure it out. You kind of procrastinate it a little bit, and then you may or may not get to it. And money doesn't seem to be super motivating for a lot of people to want to sit down and figure out. I mean, it depends. Everybody's personality is different. I'm speaking generally here, but there could be lots of different reasons.
Yeah, no, I mean, people are different with their money, just like anyone else is different. Like, there's the spenders and then there's the savers.
Yeah.
Heading in that category. But yeah, showing up, it can be challenging for people, especially something new, because you're creating that new bandwidth and you're reprioritizing your life. So instead of Netflix and chilling on a Friday night,
right,
you can be chilling with your finances, which can go either way for people. Like, oh my God, I'm on track, or like, oh crap.
Yeah, I think that's a great point too, is the fear of seeing something that you don't want to see and what that says about you or about what you're doing. That's a big one for sure.
Yeah. I mean, money, number, as it people say, numbers don't lie. Just like if you're trying to lose weight and you're doing all the working out, but yet you're not switching your diet, your body's keeping score and it's going to tell you what score it's at. And it's the same with money. But I just find it so interesting, even though I've done a lot of work and sat down with myself and had that uncomfortable conversations and getting real with my own finances, being like, okay, it's fine. I can do this. I know where I'm at. But then again, checking in regularly. I try to do it at least once a week. It's hard.
That's but good.
At least, you know, anytime I'd get a paycheck, then I'd be looking it through, do the numbers. Okay, I'm good. Fine. But again, as I evolve, stepping into adulting more, I'm like, okay, I'm not just here to pay bills and call it good. Mm-hmm. I'm very much an adventurer soul. I'm like, we need to, something's got to shift here.
Yeah.
So what do you see as like women coming in? What is their major driving force to, besides just adulting and getting their finances in order, but what do you see their driving force is? Because again, a lot of our generation isn't loyal to the money. We're loyal to the cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's freedom. freedom's the main driving force that I see. And freedom looks different to everyone, whether it's creating a business or career that you love, or having time to spend with your family, or pursue hobbies and things that you love, traveling, you know, basically kind of being able to do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it. That freedom is really the biggest driver that I see with women.
Was that the driver with you?
Oh, definitely. That's one of my top five core values. And that is what keeps me going. Is, and a big one for me with starting my family now, I'm having a baby in a couple months now. And this has been a driver for me even before getting pregnant, but wanting to be able to be a present mom, mm-hmm. you know, take my kid to school, show up at all the activities, and still also make a lot of money and unapologetically earn a lot while having a lot of time and really like making more and working less. That's freedom to me.
Mm-hmm. So how, now that you're preparing for this transition in life, what steps have you taken to support that foundation and working less, playing more, but still seeing the numbers of your bank account increase?
Yeah, it's been really simplifying and having more of a focus and more clarity. Instead of doing all the things, it's doing the few things that drive majority of my results anyway. It's like that 80-20 rule, where, what is the rule? 20% of your activities drive 80% of your results. It's really getting clear on what are those 20%, right? What are the few things that I need to do to bring in the results for me in my business? And that's freed up a ton of time. And getting that clarity, who am I serving? How am I serving them? How am I marketing? What are my systems? What are my processes? So a lot of the work has started kind of in my business, because that's where it tends to spiral outward for me into my personal. When my business is going well, then, and you can tell I have a lot of stuff wrapped up in work and business, which is something I'm working on for sure, being more of a human and focusing more on my personal life. So naturally, that's where I started the process, is getting my business streamlined and super productive there.
Right, which is with anyone. And you're a driver, you have goals, you're a doer. So it's really hard to separate work from play, because it eventually infuses itself. Like you said, your professional life is a reflection of your personal life and vice versa. So if there is something's coming out of harmony in one area, it's going to come out of harmony in the other area, which I think is a massive lesson a lot of us get to learn and grow and just accept as it is, especially as you're transitioning into motherhood.
Mm-hmm. My biggest thing will be remembering to focus on me and doing stuff, my self-care, doing stuff for me. So I keep it small and simple, because that's more of a challenge for me. Right now, I'm just focusing on, you know, 3 days a week, I'm doing a workout for 20 minutes and a meditation. And that's good for me for right now. Like, it's baby steps. I feel like I have my business under good control, but I'm like, okay, now I need to do the self-care and remember that I'm a human, and focus on filling up my cup as well. Then, and that's where I really struggled more, at least in this season of life.
Mm-hmm. Filling up your cup for yourself.
Yeah. Making time for me. Cause what I'll tend to do on my free time is I'll get into the Netflix and chill, which is great. And I love, but I'll do that more excessively than doing the other things that I know are good for me and that I want to do, the workouts, the meditations, the whatever it is. So finding that balance between, you know, because I sometimes I use the Netflix and chill as a little bit of a numbing out technique.
Oh, definitely.
That's like my way to just disconnect and not have to think about anything.
Definitely. I mean, that's what I use. Netflix, Hulu, all of that. I just recently deleted it all off my phone.
There you go.
I need how do I take care of me? Like, I had a conversation with one of my coaches, and I love her to death, but it was basically be like, what are you doing? You're not creating the space. You're not creating the capacity. So of course you're going to get mad at yourself. Mm. So shift and just do it.
Yes.
And that's where I'm like, okay, this isn't working anymore. And I've known for a while, but again, until you come to talk to someone like you to get the financials in order, it's still going to be, oh yeah, I'll get there. I'll get there eventually. Someday.
Yep. Yep. I'm in awareness around my TV habit and making small shifts, but still that's an active journey that I'm on, is lessening that and getting more into doing the things that I want to do, but I don't prioritize and I don't make time for it, that I'm, maybe I'm avoiding. Like, some people avoid their money, right? We all have our things.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you taking those baby steps and being simple, especially when you're creating those self-care habits, because everyone's like, you have to jump all off the cliff and it'll all work out. When I'm like, sometimes it's not the jumping off the cliff. It's the journey to jumping off the cliff. Those little tiny baby steps. So what is one tiny baby step you would suggest someone who is wanting to start adulting with their financials, but is a little afraid and isn't quite there to be reaching out to someone like you to get things in order?
Yeah, I think starting with that laying your foundation piece is a great way to start. And I know that setting the goals and getting all the numbers organized might even feel too big, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But break it down even smaller. Maybe set one goal for yourself, or maybe just look at your bank account once a week or once a month. Or maybe there's a lot of great apps for budgeting. And I think budgeting and knowing where your money's going is a really great place to start. If you're like, I have no idea where my money's going.
Is there an app you suggest?
Yeah, there's one called Clarity Money that I love. It's free, so it's a great place to start. There's tons of apps out there, but that one is super intuitive, it's free, and it just tracks. It doesn't have all the budgeting features where you're setting dollar amounts for categories, but it's going to give you a real clear view of this is where stuff's going right now. So maybe you start just getting that app and connecting your bank accounts to it, right? Whatever feels, you know, fun or easy or important or urgent. And if that still feels too big, break it down even one step further. Like in my workout example, doing an hour workout, you know, whatever, four times a week, too big. So I'll do 30-minute workout three times a week, or I'll take a walk for 20 minutes. You know, it's like, however you can just break it down so it's small enough that you'll actually do it, that's a great place to start.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that. Like, make it fun somehow. Because when I hear you say, well, get the foundational piece, I think of like spreadsheets and putting numbers in, and I'm just, whoa, too much. But the app, I love that you suggested the app. That's so easy. And you get a visual for where it is your money's going, so then you actually see it.
Yeah, the app's a great place to start. And the goals can be fun too. I have a goal setting workbook on my website, and it takes you through kind of that big picture, visioning, dreaming, values, and then also that practical of, okay, what are the top three goals? And so that's a resource if anyone wants to check that out. But that can be more fun than the spreadsheets, because you're kind of doing the dreaming and the visioning and all that fun stuff.
Does that workbook also include like someone finding their values and creating those values?
Yeah. So I have an exercise in there to discover your core values and thinking about them as it relates to your money. Because you may have done these exercises before. If you haven't, definitely recommend it. But if you have, even just thinking about how your values relate to your money is a whole new interesting way to start to kind of do some of that values work. And a fun way to look at your money too.
Mm-hmm. What are your top five values? I know you said freedom is one of them.
Yeah, freedom, happiness, family, authenticity. And what is my fifth one? I think it's growth. I'm blanking. And they change too, which is interesting because I'll do the exercise at least once a year. And I think it kind of depends on the journey I'm on at the moment, mm-hmm. is kind of what I tend to be valuing. But I always have freedom. I always have family, some sort of health or wellness, happiness, joy, fun. Those kind of rotate in and out for me. And then my fifth one tends to shift based on where I'm at.
Yeah. What does authenticity look like to you as it pertains to money? Because that's a great one and I'm so curious about it.
Yeah, that just, for me, it started outside of money and it kind of looked like not being afraid to be myself and putting myself out there, because I feel like I kind of hold back and will keep myself small at times, and that's been a journey. And learning really what I want and what's important to me. And so bringing that into money, it's spending and saving in ways that are totally me. So if I want to get a massage, because that just feels totally fun and it's like something that would relax me, and like self-care, even though the back of my head, I'm like, that's extravagant. That's a splurge. You don't deserve that. Authentically, I really want that and I desire that. And that's totally something that I find joy in. So I will encourage myself to to make that purchase in spite of the, you know, lack talk coming in. But yeah, it's just been learning to kind of spend and save in ways that really support who I am and who I want to be.
That's awesome. I love it. I love how it also connected back to the conversation earlier about self-love, like staying true to yourself. And if you want that massage, like go get the massage.
Yes, especially our frugal, overly frugal, like myself, people. Mm-hmm. You deserve to splurge on yourself every now and again. And it's hard when you're that person who just really wants to kind of save and, you know, just spend on the bare necessities. It's hard to do something that feels, you know, extravagant. To me, it feels extravagant, or mm-hmm. it feels like a splurge, but I encourage you to go for that if that's something that's going to bring you joy. Because it's like, you can save, but I don't know. For me, I also want to, I value that security and that having that money set aside, but I also want to enjoy my life in the moment and in the day to day. So working to find that balance between those two things.
So what have you learned about yourself from your own money self-care journey and doing those splurges?
I've learned that it's okay to spend money on myself and that I do deserve it. I do deserve to enjoy my money and not just feel like there's never enough and I have to stockpile it all away for a rainy day, even though those thoughts are still coming up. But I've really learned that I do deserve to spend my money on me however I want.
Oh, I love that so much. And people are always stockpiling it for a rainy day. I go to a point like, are you going to live, or is it just money and bank account and that's it? Because mm-hmm. I mean, in my own philosophy, it's like, I'm not just here to pay the bills.
Right.
That's been a challenge for me, even getting to that point. And it still comes up every time when I'm freaking out and or nerding out about money. I'm being like, but I'm not here just to pay the bills. So yes. What does that look like? And I think also getting your financials in order, knowing where it's at, is also a form of self-care, a major form of self-care.
100%, because that's given me permission to spend on myself, because I know I have my bills covered. I know that I'm saving and investing in the way that I want to. And I have that comfort that those things are taken care of. And so that's given me permission to see, oh, I have some extra money in this budget or in this plan, and I can unapologetically spend it on myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yes.
I just love it so much. Do you have any other like tips or suggestions? Because I know you see a lot of entrepreneurs and women come in. Like, what's another major theme besides freedom that you see and support them with?
I think a lot of it is learning to be intentional with your money. I think a lot of clients come to me and they're not really sure, you know, how their money's working for them, what it's doing. They feel like they're just kind of reacting to maybe what's already happened, or they're not really sure why they're doing what they're doing. And they want to be more in the know. They want to be more intentional of like, I'm spending money in this way because of this, or I'm saving in these ways because it's serving this purpose. It's serving this goal. And just knowing where money is flowing, what purpose it's serving, what it's doing for them, instead of just feeling like things are just randomly happening. They're not sure why, they're not sure what it's doing. So that intentionality is a big thing that people come to me wanting more of, and that I'm able to help them to really, by looking at what their goals are and where they're at, okay, now how can we be intentional with the decisions that you're making to make sure that you are able to meet your goals and your money is flowing with your values and you're being intentional with the decisions that you're making?
Oh my God, I love that too. Living with intention. It creates so much more freedom, but it also creates, you have a sense of control going on. Yes. Because otherwise, if you don't know what's happening and if you're not intentional, and that's where like, I'm like, oh, the values are actually perfect. I need to go get my value system for how I spend my money or what that looks like. Yes. Because then that supports me in being intentional where it goes.
100%. That is a huge exercise to support the intentionality. I love that.
Yeah. Intentions are my favorite. I always talk about it all the time. Like, what's your intention? Okay. There's your guiding post. You have that first step ahead of you, and going back to it all the time.
Yeah. Cause otherwise you just feel like, at least for me, I just felt like a hot mess. And like, I don't know what's going on or why it's happening. And I really want to be in the know. I want to be a boss over this.
Mm-hmm. Be an adult over it, whatever mm-hmm. it looks like, instead mm-hmm. of feeling like a hot mess and just chasing after the bills. Because I know some people are like that. I've been there. Mm-hmm. And then it's just really figuring it out. But yeah, I don't know. I just keep going back to that. You get so much more control over your life where you know what's happening with your money, what's going on with your money. And also not shaming myself or getting upset with myself when maybe 1 month I wasn't as intentional as I should have been. Huge. Or I had a little slip up. Okay, cool beans. How can I shift it moving forward? Instead of being like, I'm just shitty with money. I can't do this. This is awful.
Yes. All of that. That's massive. We are our own harshest critics and we're constantly beating ourselves up. At least I'll speak for myself personally. And it's okay to go off track. It's okay if things don't turn out exactly according to plan. It's okay if you spent that money in a way that you didn't want to, or if you made a mistake. Learn from it. Move on. We're humans. Give yourself some grace. But easier said than done for sure. That's a big lesson I've had to personally work on, and constantly saying that to clients. I'm like, it's okay. Now we know. Now we can change it for the next time. Don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself up. Give yourself a little grace. You're learning. It's a process. It's a journey. So I love that. I think that's such an important message.
How do you give yourself grace?
It's that self-talk, going okay. back to hearing what I'm actually saying to myself and how I'm beating myself up, noticing it in the moment. Having that awareness is huge. Like, that's the first step. Once the awareness is there, and I'm at a place now to be able to notice it, for the most part, not always, and with different areas it's different, but with mm-hmm. money at least, and then being like, oh wow, know, I'm saying some really crappy things to myself right now. Something that someone said that helped me a lot is asking yourself if this were a friend saying these things to you. I'm sure you've heard this one. You know, how would you counsel her? What would you say to her? You probably wouldn't berate her for making a little mistake, would you? You would encourage her and you would support her. And that's using that advice and that guidance has been helpful as well.
Yeah. What comes to mind when you say that, being like, I am human. In those moments, it's kind of like, I am human. Mm-hmm. I'm not some superhuman, have it all together, all of this. I am human. I'm allowed to mess up. It's okay.
Yeah, and not judging myself. That's a big one. The judgment.
God, yes.
That's huge. That's a big thing. It's like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, I kind of just tell myself, like, it's all good. It's okay. No big deal. Move on. And just kind of try to, not minimize it, but let myself know that it's not that big of a deal and there's no need to go into a judgment spiral over it.
Yeah. With judgment, I learned somewhere the phrase that there can't be any curiosity with judgment. So bringing like curiosity to that, and I identify a lot with like childlike and bringing that childlike wonder, because one of my own affirmations, I say I'm a playful. So I'm like, what's playfulness look like? And in judgment moments, it has saved me a lot of grace, a lot of heartache to going, well, if this was a child learning a new skill, they fell down, I wouldn't go at them and say how horrible a human they are. I'd be like, okay, cool, get back up. Let's try it again.
Yes.
Let's get up, do it again. Or let's try something new and see what happens. Mm. So what? Your horse does not exactly look like a horse, but you're starting out and you're growing and in the drawing and all of that. Yeah.
Absolutely love that. Then that reminds me of something that my mindset coach was working on me with, was the curiosity aspect. Instead of going into the judgment, you're aware. Mm-hmm. You're aware, and instead of judging, you're curious, like, oh, how did that happen? Why did that happen? What was going on there? And you can get some really good insights that you can then take as lessons and improve upon for the next time. Instead of like, oh, you're so stupid. Why'd you do that? You suck. It's mm-hmm. a totally different vibe.
And it's so much more freeing when you come from that and the curiosity and figuring it out and gaining more of that awareness. I mean, it's, for me, it's 99% of shifting whatever mindset is going on is being aware. If you're not aware, the other 1% is not going to move, which the 1% could be getting a coach, having that affirmation, your self-talk, like all of that. I also really do love the fact you talk to yourself, because mm-hmm. I do that too. And yeah. Some people are just like, that's crazy. Or I need someone to hold space for me because I'm tired of talking to myself. But having a conversation that's not judgmental, so I can hear what I'm saying. Because even if they're holding space for me, I could be in mid-sentence and be like, well, that's dumb. I'm over it and move on.
Right. And I definitely think there's value in others holding space. I've hired coaches. I go to groups and gain support. But then you're missing out on that stuff happening in the moment, mm-hmm. right? Because there's going to be times that's just coming up as you're living your life, and there's not going to be someone there next to you holding space. So you have to also do that for yourself. You know, you can have that support through others, but at the end of the day, I feel like I have to be my biggest support system, because I'm really the one who's here with me all day, every day. And I got to get on board with that too.
Oh my God. You're preaching to the choir right now on that one. That's something I've been learning the past couple of weeks. I'd get down on myself about whatever it is, and I'd be like, oh, I want someone to hold space for me, but who am I going to call? I don't know right now. I don't know. But how can I give myself that same space I give other people? That's the most challenging for me. How do you give yourself space?
I think a lot of it is just the talking to myself, honestly. I'm working on my meditation practice, right? I'm working on my journaling practice. I know those are ways a lot of people are able to hold space for themselves, but I haven't been able to necessarily get into that habit yet. But pausing when I'm noticing the talk and taking that moment to just really listen to myself and course correct a bit, that's really what's been working for me right now. And I can't wait to be able to implement things like journaling more and meditation. But, you know, I'm still on my baby steps, right, of my journey. So it's easy for me to kind of pause in the moment as opposed to, you know, having to develop a new habit, which takes some time. Not quite there yet. So yeah, it's all coming back to my self-talk and working on that. That's the biggest thing for me.
I think that's the biggest thing for a lot of women too, face it. I mean, I've had many conversations about it, and it's been a common theme, that whole like self-talk and how you talk to yourself and all of that. And I'm a big supporter of people expressing themselves, because if you don't express yourself, whatever it is in that moment, it gets built up somewhere, manifests somewhere in your body. And that's where, okay, now you have a trauma, and say you are doing, you're starting to get healthier, you're starting to work and exercise, and then you do this move. And a lot of it happens in yoga, especially if there's like hip openers for women. And then it's just this flood of emotion where it's like, where did that come from? Oh, it could have been, you know, 10 years ago, something happened and you didn't handle it or like express yourself. But yeah.
Yeah. Is that why I'm always tearing up when I'm working out?
Well, it depends on what it is. I mean, a lot of times women hold their trauma in the hips. So like any emotions that get stuck, and I use trauma broadly, but get stuck in the hips. So if you're doing a lot of hip stuff, it's moving that energy around and like opening it up. So therefore it releases and it just manifests in whatever emotion that comes up right now. So yeah, it's 100% could be that. There could be also some other stuff going on you haven't been dealing with that comes up at the moment. But yeah, I could talk about that all the day long too, because I love exercise. Like exercising is my therapy.
That's so interesting. Therapies. Yeah, I love that, because I like always find myself tearing up when I'm exercising. Like, okay, I'm releasing something right now.
And it's even been in those moments to give myself grace and just let it happen and not try to re-stuff it down.
That's a good tip, because I definitely do that. Because then if I'm at a class, I start getting embarrassed. I'm like, I don't want to be crying in the middle of this class.
What type of classes do you take?
Now that I'm pregnant, different, you know, I'm kind of my normal routine, but I like doing different like boot camp and strength training classes, yoga, different dance classes are fun. Mm-hmm. I love dancing. I like mixing it up. I do ClassPass.
Okay.
So I try to find stuff that is fun and is different. I like variety. I like swimming, biking, that type of stuff too. I'm not a runner. I'm not a big runner.
Yeah, I only ask just to hear like what type of classes are, and I'm just like, the type of classes you'd be fine crying in. I mean, people who do strength training or do any of that, they're challenging themselves. They're wanting to get, how they talk about it in yoga, they're wanting to get to that edge and see if you can push that edge out a little further. And of course, as you're trying to push out this edge a little further, it gets uncomfortable. Emotions come up. Mm-hmm. It's the same with money. You're like, you're pushing your edge with money when you start like, okay, on Friday night, I'm just going to have a bottle of wine with me and I'm going to hang out with my finances and that'll be good. And then you start to build that edge, that muscle.
Yes, I love it. I think there's so many parallels between fitness and finances and all different areas of health and wellness. And that's helped me better connect with my money and my clients too, is like, if I don't necessarily understand certain aspects of financial, my mindset's different, but maybe the more practical stuff, I'm like, okay, but how did I feel with my fitness journey or with my emotional journey? And it's all the same stuff, really.
Mm-hmm. It's all interconnected. So yep. if you're starting out on, you're wanting to lose those 10 pounds, well, what does that look like? Well, it's first getting on the scale and seeing where you're actually at.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's starting to build a plan and then executing that plan to get where that was. It's just what comes up for me on that and like planning and executing. I was coaching individuals on doing their own boudoir shoot and mm-hmm. empowering them to do that and being like, yeah, enjoy yourself, have fun with it, do whatever. But I hadn't yet done it. And so the package I purchased, it was valid for 6 months and I was doing the calculations and I'm like, oh, I have to do this in October and November. And I hadn't been working out consistently at that time. This was this past summer. And I'm like, okay, I get to start now. I already have a little HIIT workout book I can follow. I'm going to go do that. So that way I can feel great in those photos.
Yes.
And it's the same with money. You're just like the intention, like, why am I buying those photos? Oh, that's a self-care. Why am I doing spending that money? That's to fill up my cup. And yeah, that just comes up a lot with me with self-care, where I focus on spending my money, understanding what that looks like, and then shifting that definition.
Mm.
I think that's been a big one, especially if it's like, okay, I need to save a little bit, or I want to start saving more, instead of bringing up that dread. I'm like, I'm saving for a rainy day. It's like, no, how can this apply to be self-care? Or something like that.
Yeah, I love that. And that, another thing that just made me think of is my mindset coach said to me one time, she was like, self-care isn't always just stuff that is like fun and that you enjoy, but it's stuff that you do to take care of yourself. So if your finances aren't maybe right away totally feeling fun and joyful as maybe going to get a massage or something, it's still self-care because you're taking care of yourself by doing that. And the funny part is it becomes fun. It becomes empowering and it gets easier and you build the habits. It's the beginning is always the hardest part, but I see it with clients all the time. You know, that learning curve starts to shorten. They've built the habits. They feel empowered. They feel excited. They start seeing results. And so they're like, yes, it's working. But getting started is a tough part. And so that reframe for me in certain areas of my life of just because it maybe doesn't feel fun and easy right away, it is taking care of me. And for that, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. What comes to mind is self-care, setting yourself up for success.
Yes.
So whatever that looks like.
Yes.
But yeah. Okay. Down to the final questions.
Ooh.
What is a book, podcast, resource that has supported you that you would suggest to anyone besides your own tools? Because I'm sure your own tools are amazing.
Yeah, I love Jen Shinchero's You're a Badass at Making Money. It's all about money mindset. I'm obsessed with it. There's tons of journal prompts, exercises. Do them and you'll learn so much. And that's a great way to start learning about reframes too, because you're getting the awareness, but then she also talks to you about like, no, this is like how you can think about this. And that's my favorite money mindset book. So highly recommend it.
It's a green book for those listening. She has yes. You're a Badass, which is a yellow book. Mm-hmm. And I believe she's coming out with a third one or did, but it's the green yes. one.
Yes. The green one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where can everyone find you?
I'm OnRoute Financial, OnRoute Financial. That's my website and Instagram. That's probably where I'm most active. So check out my website or come over to Instagram and say, hey, let's connect. Shoot me a DM. Happy to chat with anyone.
Is your Instagram handle OnRoute Financial?
OnRoute Financial. Yep.
Okay, cool. All right. What is your bravest moment?
There's a couple that come to mind, but I guess the biggest one was leaving behind what on the outside looked like a successful business at my old financial planning firm, leaving all those clients, leaving all that revenue, and totally starting from zero and starting over and just going for it.
Yeah. No, I love that. Love it. Taking a leap of faith on yourself.
Yeah. I didn't have the best financial planning, but it worked. It made it work out.
You learn that to teach others. Perfect. Yes. And what is your definition of brave?
My definition of brave is to show up in spite of everything, in spite of the fears, in spite of not wanting to, or in spite of the negative self-talk, showing up, putting yourself out there, doing the work, whatever that showing up looks like, but going for it, taking the action, not just thinking about it, not just dreaming about it, but actually showing up and doing it.
I love that definition. Well, Chrissy, thank you so much for coming on here. I had so much fun talking about money, and I'm just grateful for you to come on and just share your story.
This was so fun. Thank you so much for having me, Lo.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.